Let's have an AA meeting. My name's Tim R., and I'm an alcoholic. Welcome to the Monday Night Blue Chip Speakers Meeting on NavaZoom. We're a member of Alcoholics Anonymous with 1 year or more of sobriety tells his or her story. This reading is based on a passage from page 29 of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Each individual in our personal stories describes in their own language and from their own point of view the way they establish their relationship with God. These give a fair cross-section of our membership and a clear-cut idea of what has happened in their lives. We hope no one will consider these self-revealing accounts in bad taste. Our hope is that many alcoholic men and women in our room tonight and listening later on AABlueChipSpeakers.org, desperately in need, will hear our speaker, and we believe that it is only by fully disclosing ourselves and our problems that any of us shall be persuaded to say, yes, I'm one of them too. I must have this thing. Again, I'm Tim. I'm an alcoholic. And our speaker tonight, Tony M., has been, we have all been witnesses of him going through and receiving some of the promises of the program. He's graciously accepted the invitation to speak tonight. And I'm proud to introduce him. Here you go, Tony. It's all yours.
Thanks, Tim. Tony, I am a grateful recovering alcoholic. What's up, APM? For y'all that don't know, I love AA. I cannot say that enough. I love this program. I love everything this program has done for me, everything it continues to do for me on a daily basis. Even when I don't want to show up, AA always shows up in my life, and it somehow just makes everything that much better. My story is just pretty much like everyone else's on here. It's had its ups, it's had its downs, it's had its goods, it's had its bads. It's full of dark, but it's also full of light. I was 29 years old when I got sober. I'm 34 today, so it's been probably the best 5 years of my life that I can actually recall. My first drink, I was 12 years old, and it was kind of just not by choice. I was hanging out with a bunch of older family members that I was living with at the time, and they were just into a lot of bad stuff, and I thought the only way that I could continue to be part of the family was let's start drinking with them. And that's where my alcoholism really, really kicked off from day one. I never looked back until I got 29. It had a lot of good times. I'm not even going to lie about that. I had a lot of good times drinking. I really did. But once I got 29, I realized that I was having a lot more bad times drinking than I was having good times. I found myself looking for not the reasons that I think a normal person might drink is, oh, I'm going to have one or two to just end the day, or I'm out partying on New Year's, so I'm just going to have one or two to fit in with the crowd. I was having 20 and 21 and 30. And I realized that I started drinking not to have fun, but because there was something deeper going on that I haven't identified yet. And I spent a lot of years just really drowning my entire life, not just problems, but my life. Like, I went to college. That's something I actually did do. Can't really tell you much about it, though, because I spent most of it drinking. And I really hit a hard bottom. Some of y'all may have heard that some people hit a bottom and they were able to just quit. I hit a bottom, and when I hit it, for some reason, there was a trap door. So I hit my bottom, I bounced, this trap door opened, and I fell a little bit further. And then when I hit that bottom, that was really my bottom. I'd spent a whole night up drinking, and I'd been up for a few days on other substances, but that's really not my story. And I ended up taking another substance that pretty much paralyzed me, and I fell on my back, and I threw up, and I couldn't get rolled over. I started choking, and the last thing that I can remember is me choking and not being able to get rolled over. So I started blacking out, and by the grace of my higher power, whom I choose to call God, I woke up that morning in the same spot on the back porch, covered in throw up. How I was able to get turned over, I really have no idea, but the fact that I almost died isn't what made me want to go and get help. It was the fact that I almost died and there was nobody there to help me. I have burned every bridge in my life and pushed away every person that I truly cared for. And I almost died alone on a back porch in my own drunken madness. And that was my bottom. I felt like I hit that one hard enough that there was no coming back. And 3 days later, I picked up a white chip, and I haven't looked back since. One chip wonder, if that's what you want to call it, but I've only picked up one white chip by the grace of God. I haven't had to go back out or to pick up another chip, and I'm able to do that by just this program and working it one day at a time. It's been 5 years now, and in them 5 years, I've done things in my life that I never, ever, ever would have thought possible, especially the way that I grew up. I grew up in a small town. Well, it's getting bigger. It's Griffin, Georgia. It's about 30 minutes south of Atlanta. That's where I was born and raised. I spent all my time there. So you go to the city, it gets bad, but I spent most of my time out in the country. I'm just a good old country boy, if that's what you want to call it. But everybody in a small town knows everything you do. So I spent years growing up with a lot of people that I have nothing to do with anymore. And it was people that I've grown up with that I've known my entire life. But since then, and as bad as I hate it, I still love these people, and I still wish them nothing but the best. But I had to cut off everything about Griffin, Georgia. I went to treatment in Griffin. I was there for a month, and then they shipped me off to Atlanta. I haven't been back to Griffin since. I'm actually further now. I'm up in Commerce. So I'm way away from Griffin now. And I don't miss it. I miss the people, but I do not miss the place. When I came in, the first thing I was told is you got to change your people, places, and playgrounds, and that's what I did. And it was a hard thing to do, but looking back, I have no regret on it. And like I said, in them 5 years, I've gone places and I've seen things and I've done things that is things that I've only seen on TV, especially somebody from a small town traveling the world. Like, I've been outside of the United States, which I never thought that would be possible. I'm real big on vacation. I love the vacation. And I've always grew up saying that if I'm going to do vacations, I want to do it based on food, because I love to eat too. So I want to go to all these places. I wanted to go to Philadelphia and have cheesesteaks. I wanted to go to Chicago for deep dish pizza. I wanted to go to Maine for lobster. I've started checking them off my list, which I never thought possible. I've been to Mexico and Honduras and Belize. I've been cave diving, and I'm just an old country boy from the sticks. If you would have told me 5 years ago that I would be in a deep, dark cave in Belize, I would have told you you're a liar. There's no way possible. But I've done things like that now, and I've been able to experience real feelings, not drunken in a stupor feelings, them artificial feelings that you feel for 24 hours, sometimes 2-3 hours. I've actually had people in my life that really love me now, and there's actually people in my life that I really love. Out of these 5 years, I've got a daughter now, and she really takes the cake. She's never seen me drunk. She's never seen me on any substance. And I thank God for that. I really do. She's a big part of my life, but she really keeps me humble along with this program and accountability from this program and then accountability from her as well. And all that, I've built a house and I come from a real poor family. Like when I say poor, like it was bad. Like we're talking about putting sticks up and throwing a sheet up, praying that it don't rain because it blows us all away. But I'm able to go to my refrigerator. I'm able to go to my cabinets. Or if I wake up and I want to eat a Dairy Queen Blizzard at 8:30 in the morning, I can now do that because I'm not having to count pennies, or I'm not having to pray that they don't turn off lights or that water doesn't get turned off, or I don't have the shakes, so I'm not having to run to the liquor store, or I'm not having to do all these things that I never thought would be possible anymore, or ever for that matter. And I used to always use my childhood as an excuse for why I drank, or my dad wasn't there, so I'm depressed, I'm sad, or my mom never around, I'm depressed, or I'm just sad. I always tried to find a reason to drink, no matter the occasion. I could always come up with something on any given day. Now I don't have to have excuses anymore for anything that I do. I've got that freedom that I truly enjoy, and it's because I'm free of alcohol and other substances, but I am living what I feel like is just the beginning of my best life. My job has actually, I've done things in my job that I never thought. I've seen money that only by the grace of God, and I know hard work, but in all reality, when I came into this program, I didn't have that grace of God. All I had was AA. So anything that I accomplished today, I keep my higher power first, but I always come back to AA. I always give credit to AA. I'm not able to do anything I'm doing today without this program and without you people, honestly. And it's been 5 years, and in these 5 years, I haven't wanted to take a drink. Even last year, I had I know y'all hear it, life showing up on life terms. Last year, life showed up for me in a lot of ways. Not just COVID, that was tough on everybody, but I went through a divorce during COVID, and I didn't even see it coming. I had no idea. I thought that I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing as a husband, but I still had my flaws. I was still making mistakes, but it didn't take me back out. I didn't see a reason to need to drink from it. And it also brought me closer to AA. I heard in a meeting one time that if you start putting things before your recovery, they will slowly be taken away from you. I was putting everything before my recovery. My job, my marriage, my daughter, everything. And for the whole year, she left in March, and I spent a whole year just questioning, like, what have I done so bad for everything that I thought was going good in my life to slowly just start declining? And it's like it hit me like a ton of bricks. I stopped going to meetings. I stopped talking to my sponsor. I stopped working the steps on a daily basis, not just running through 1 through 12 and thinking that I'm done with these steps. I stopped practicing these principles in all my affairs, and slowly but surely, little pieces was being taken away. Little pieces here, little pieces there. And then I found the NABA Zoom meeting. And I've always heard of NABA, and I was real big at Triangle and a couple other meetings down in Midtown. And I knew that I had to get back to my roots. I came home one day, I Googled an AA meeting, and the first thing thing that popped up was NABBA. I've been at NABBA ever since, and I thank God for it daily. I'm big on gratitude as well. If you could see my house, I've got little gratitude rocks, humility rocks everywhere. But one of the biggest things for me is on my mirror, I have an expo marker. And every morning, I write at least three things that I'm grateful for. I brush my teeth. Before I brush my teeth, that's the first thing I do. And then when I get home and I do my whole little routine, play with the dog, make dinner because I have to cook it on my own now because most of the time it is just me and my dog because I burned that bridge as well, but I'm okay with that. Do laundry, which I come to find out I hate laundry. I got a divorce and found out just how much laundry sucks. It is the worst thing to have to do. You see my laundry hamper. It's not horrible, but you can tell I don't like to do laundry, especially when you see like whites with blacks and reds and blues. It's all over the place, but they smell good. That's how I look at it. I don't go to work and I don't stink, so that's the good win from it. I get to pick what laundry detergent I want. I don't have to get yelled at about that. Well, washing dishes, I took that for granted. Now it takes me an hour to wash a couple dishes, whereas I used to come home, all the dishes was washed. House is clean. Now I have to mop and sweep and do all this stuff that I took for granted. And at first I was real angry about it. I love doing it now because I have the choice. I can do it how I want to do it, when I want to do it. And all that is still, once again, credited to AA. No matter how bad life got last year, I hear it all the time. I just didn't drink. And I truly stick to that daily. Like, in my 5 years, I've never came across a problem to where I knew if I drunk, it would solve that problem. I thank my higher power for that. And also this program for that. No, you're going to find a lot of people that love AA. It's hard to find people that love this program as much as I do because I truly take time to appreciate what this program's done for me. I don't take it for granted. I started to last year, and it really showed up on me, and I'm glad that I came running back. And I actually picked up my five-year chip from one of the guys on this meeting, Gary. That's who gave me my five-year chip. And I honestly can say that I'm one of them ones that don't really count my time. I know my date, so I know when it starts rolling around. But I was really, really proud of 5 years. I've always heard my sponsor tells me 5 years, you hear that pop. I know y'all have heard it too. And I've always just asked myself, I really don't get that. I feel like I'm going to work just as hard in my 5 years as I did in my 1, 2, 3, and 4. But what I have learned is so far, my 5 has been the best than my 1 through 4. And I truly credit that to the fact that I went through a divorce. It was supposed to be, and it was really, really hard. Emotionally, it was one of the hardest things I've ever done in my life. But now that I've got through it, I'm able to look back and I look at where it took me. And it brought me back to AA. It brought me back home. And there for a while, I was doing things that were uncharacteristic for me. Anybody that knows me since I've been 29, I try to work a good program. And last year, I really got away from that. And I didn't even realize I was doing it until stuff started going downhill. Since then, I've got sponsees. 5 years and I got my first sponsee, I know, but I was always terrified to work with sponsees. I thought that if my sponsee goes out and drinks, then I'm just a horrible person and I did this so bad. Working with him has humbled me more than I ever would have known that it would. He is a great guy. And I tell him all the time, and this has always been true for me, one of the things I love about AA is when you see a newcomer come in and you start seeing them promises come true in their life, or you start seeing a newcomer come in who's been beat up so bad, and you get to see their progression and you just start to see this light come to them, this joy start coming back to them. That is one of my one of the reasons why I love this program so much, and I did not know that working with a sponsee, just how beneficial that was for me. And that has truly been an honor, is working with him. It's it took me back to my roots. And this has been one of the best years of my life so far. Most of the time by February, I'm able to say, all right, half of January I had some tough days. Half of January I've had some really bad moments. So far, I know it's February, but so far I have not had a bad moment this year. I'm in contact with my ex-wife, for real civil. There's no hostility there whatsoever. I get to see my daughter whenever I want. I went through the holidays, which I'm big on the holidays, especially Christmas, like the inflatables, the lights, Christmas tree. I did that this year, and afterwards I felt really horrible about it. And that was just another one of them things where I was like, all right, I really got to plug back into AA. And that's what I've been doing since this year started. I've really made AA my number one. Well, it's my number two. I'm not even going to lie. It's God and then my recovery. And everything else has to filter through God and my recovery. And if it doesn't make it through that filter, I probably don't need it in my life. And that's the way I try to do everything in my life nowadays. I take AA with me everywhere. I do not shy away from the fact that I'm an alcoholic. I'm not just out there with a big old sign, hey, I'm telling you, I'm an alcoholic, come check me out. I don't do that, but I try to live in a way that reflects what I've learned in AA. I just try to be honest. I try to be humble. I try to practice self-love, self-care. I try to give back what was so freely given to me. And I'm able to do that in more ways than just alcohol. I can do that just by being nice to somebody having a bad day at work. They may not know it, but the only reason I'm able to do that is because of Alcoholics Anonymous. So every day I find ways to practice Alcoholics Anonymous. And I'm super, super proud of that. It took me a long time. I never share my story. Share your story. You got such a good story. And I just never do it. I feel uncomfortable doing it. I've always been one of them ones. Everybody's got a war story. Everybody's been through it. What are we doing to just not go through it again together? So this is the first time I've shared my story. And, of course, it's got deeper moments, brighter moments, but none of that matters. The only thing that matters to me is where I came from. I was a 29-year-old broken alcoholic who almost died from alcoholism. What happened? AA showed up in my life, and it showed out, and where I'm at now. I am a truly happy, happy person. I find joy in the littlest things. I love fish. If you was to see my garage, you would know this man loves to fish. He's got a problem. He needs to go to Fishing Alcoholics Anonymous. He's got some real issues. I love to fish. There's nothing like waking up 3 o'clock in the morning. As soon as that sun hits the water, you get to see the smoke or the fog just roll off the water. There is nothing. There's nowhere I feel more closer to God than I do right there. It is quiet. I find peace. I have never been as happy as I've been now. And I've been through it, I promise. I have been through things. I found my dad dead in 2010 from overdose. My mom's nowhere around. I've lost 3 grandparents. My sister OD'd on heroin over the weekend. She had to get 3 shots of Narcan. I practically raised her. I had my moment to where I was sad. I just AA'd the hell out of it. And I got through it. I'm truly joyous, happy, and free, and it is because of this program. It is because of everyone on this call. Even if I've never met you, we're in the same place together, working in the same program, and I love you like I've known you all my life, because without y'all, I would not be able to sit here and to have this meeting with you all. And That's some of my story, man. That's my experience. That's my strength. And my hope is always going to be that everybody comes in, they grab this program like I did, and they just take off. I've never had another reason to go back out, and I pray to God that I'm able to wake up and get through tomorrow's 24 hours with that same mindset. And then if I'm lucky enough, I'm going to try to do it again. At the end of the day, that's all I got. I got the same amount of time as everyone sitting on this call. It's 8:37. We've got the same time right now. And to me, that's all that matters. Wake up again tomorrow. Do it again. I'm going to put my best foot forward. If AA shows up for me to show out, then that's what I'm going to do. If not, I'm still going to show out in AA the best way I know how. And that's just one day at a time. 1 foot at a time. Sometimes I got to go 1 second at a time. But I've yet to have to pick up another white chip. And I thank God for that. I thank you all for that. And I thank AA for that. And I also thank y'all for allowing me to be here tonight. I love doing service work. If y'all ever get to see me in person, I promise you'll see I love AA. I really, really love AA. It's a big part of my life, and so y'all. And with that, thank y'all for allowing me to be here, and thank you for letting me share tonight.
Hey, thanks, Tony. We're gonna have everybody talk to Tony about Tony. How about that?
May I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, that was awesome, Tony. Thank you so much. I was just wondering, from the time you woke up on that porch, how exactly did you just call AA on your own?
Nope. So I woke up that morning. I'd been drinking all night long. And when I woke up, I was really cold because I'd been out there all night, and evidently I done choked, so my oxygen levels was really, really down. So I done turned blue, and I was really cold. So I went inside. First thing I did was get in the shower, and I was standing there, and sure enough, the water was cold. So I was like, all right, that's it. I can't do this no more. So I ended up walking. I couldn't drive because I done lost my license from, of course, alcohol. So I ended up walking like 5 miles, and I walked to the hospital, and I was like, I can't do this no more. Don't know anything about AA. Don't know anything about recovery. Don't know anything about any of that. I can tell you how to get really, really drunk. I can also tell you that I do not want to do that anymore. And from that day forward, like I said, I was in grip in 3 days. I haven't been back since. And I walked to the hospital, and that's what did it for me.
Thank you. Awesome.
Hey, Tony. Tony, I really appreciate your honesty and your sincerity. You can hear it in your voice, everything that you say, you know, when you hit rock bottom and how happy you are now and where you've come from. I mean, that's the miracle of the program, and it was so great listening to you. So really, congratulations, and thank you for sharing tonight.
Thanks, David.
Hey, I'm Mary Ann. I'm an alcoholic. I changed the color of my hand and I couldn't see it. It's not a bright yellow. It's a nice tan color. Tony, that was so awesome. And I have to thank you so much, you know, because this is the first time you're telling your story, and that it takes a lot of courage and bravery, and it sounded like, you know, it was something you really didn't want to do. Everybody wanted you to do it, and you did it. And what I heard was the honesty, obviously, but just the enthusiasm that you have for the program, and then your humility. When you mentioned your dad dying, you finding your father in 2010, and then your sister who just OD'd, I mean, I probably would have talked about those forever and a day and cried and everything. But it seems like just by you mentioning those, like kind of like just this was just, yeah, so this happened, tells me that you really are working the program, and that's what it's all about for you. So thank you so much. It was great.
Thank you, Marianne. I try. I have my moments now. Like there's days where I think about my dad. I was really angry with my dad for a really, 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 really long time, honestly, until I came to recovery, because he was never around. He was a chief police. I've heard Miss Jane say that she grew up with, and I know we're not supposed to crosstalk, but forgive me, but I know she grew up with, I believe, a judge or a lawyer in a real judicial home, and so did I for when he was there. My dad was a chief police, and he was the biggest criminal I knew. And when he died, I was really sad about it, because we had became friends, not really father and son. We was drinking together, and he never got to see me sober or clean, for that matter. And so I have my moments to where I think about him, but I don't get, like my sister asked me the other day, do I ever think about him? And I do. I don't get sad about it anymore. I'm thankful for the little bit of time that I did get with him. And I know I'm doing the right thing. And as bad as this may sound, I don't really need him to justify it for me when I'm doing it for myself. But I do have moments to where, like when I got married, that was a big one. And, of course, my daughter. But I have moments.
Hey, Tony. I'm Gary, and I'm an alcoholic. Man, I loved it. I loved your share, man. And I wouldn't have missed this for the world. Man, I feel like I've known you since the first day we met on old Zoom, you know. And we both have that energy zone, and I love that about you. It's always a positive outlook. You know, by goodness, if we're missing something, someone step up, pick it up, let's get the meeting rolling. You know, I love that solution-oriented person that I know in you. And, you know, that's what I heard in your story. You know, yeah, you mentioned, you know, some of the qualifications very quickly, but I heard a lot of promises, man, albeit a divorce. You know, there's still something that's happening from that. Amicability, love for your daughter, the ability to share that love with your wife, you know, ex-wife. I mean, man, there are people that are still battling that junk. Your job. And I, you know, also, I understand what it's like coming into your own a bit when you're on your own now. Trust me, I get that. You know, it's a new way. But I really believe it's God's way of letting me have a little solace so I can actually feel some things and take my time to, evaluate where my gifts have been given to me, my gratitude. I'm with you there. That gratitude list gets written every morning now. And I just want you to know that I enjoyed the story. You are a big part of my life every day at 5:45. And thanks for sharing, man.
Thank you, Gary. I'll never forget where I got my 5-year tip from. I'll never forget it.
Thanks, buddy.
Tony, I appreciate very much your talk. And I actually got some counsel the other day for my justice orientation, and I was told to use it. Only the stipulation was to use it for other people, not to judge other people, but to use it. You know, treat other people justly, in other words, you know, so I'll have to work on that. Thank you. What a beautiful story. A lot of strength there. Thank you.
Thank you, Miss Jenny.
Hey, everyone. I'm Adam. I'm an alcoholic.
Yeah, Adam.
Hey. Yeah. Well, Tony's been the one who's been helping me through the steps, and he's been truly, truly inspiring, honestly. I mean, I was in the room for 5 days and I went out, and you know, I didn't get anybody else on board with what I was doing. And in the back of my head, I think I shared one time and Tony said, you know, he said, I shared during those first 5 days, and he said, we love seeing you here. Keep coming back. And that just rang in my head, you know, for that month and a half while I was out, and I knew I was back. And you know, I just wanted to say that, you know, Tony has been truly inspiring, and you know, the rooms are my higher power, but, and Tony's a big part of that. And so I'm just so appreciative of the work that he's done and the example that he's set, because it's been a huge help to me, and I'm starting to see promises take shape. And Tony's been a big part of that. So I just wanted to say I really appreciate it.
Beautiful.
Thank you, Adam, very, very much. Be texting you later.
Tony, I want to thank you for your story, Eve. I'm an alcoholic. I especially love how you love your daughter. I've been a single parent. My son is now 29 almost, but I remember when he was little, and I know how important a parent is, so it's wonderful that y'all are working things out. And I love your zest for life, for your job, for this program. You really get it. And thank you for sharing with us.
Thank y'all for letting me. I do love her. She's something else. She challenges me, especially the second grade homework. Oh man! And I deal with numbers every day, but she brings home stuff. I'm just like, nope, Google that. I have no idea.
Hey, I'm Patty. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks so much, Tony, for your story. You know, when you were describing the fish, when you were fishing, that sounds like an incredible higher power moment, and your description was beautiful. And it does sound like you had some tough times, but, you know, it was just like your story is like a love letter to AA. And I really enjoyed it. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Patty. I didn't know when I was sharing my story tonight that this is how it concluded. I should have kept sharing. Y'all going to have me all moping around crying in the shower later.
Oh, that's good. You can cry all you need to. It's healing.
It took me 29 years to cry. So I was never a crier. This is something I've never done, but since I turned 29, life has found a way. And most of the time it's happy moments. Like sometimes I can watch a Disney movie with my daughter and something miraculous happens and I'm just like, oh, that's beautiful.
Strange to me, as I roam from town to town, can't put the bottle down. Right now feels like it's killing me. Life out here gets so depressing. Need something to take the edge, you see.